I would ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 18. We're going to go through this whole chapter, it's 26 verses, and kind of read it a little bit at a time later in the message. But I want to first begin by putting a picture on the screen. I want to ask, how many people know who that guy is? Anybody? Let's see. Yeah, you do know that guy. You know him, most of you, many of you know him. You know him pretty well. His name is Nace Howell. Do you remember Nace Howell? How many remember Nace Howell? Yeah, so Nace was called to serve as a pastor from this church, from Kerwinsville Alliance Church. And his name isn't Nace Howell anymore. It is Reverend Dr. Nace Howell. He just couldn't stop getting all the degrees that he wanted to and did really well. I'm really proud of him. It's kind of funny. When Nace attended here, he would say to me often, and often is the wrong word, he would say it all the time to me. He would say in that Nace voice, "Pastor Steve, yeah? Pray that God would give me wisdom. I want wisdom." I'll bet he said that to me 100 times when he was here. Pray that God would give me wisdom. And then when he was in college, we had this thing called AOL Instant Messenger. Anybody remember that? And I get these little messages from him on there, and he'd say, "How are you doing, Pastor Steve?" Even when he typed a text, it came out that way. And I'd say, "I'm doing all right. How are you?" "Good. Just pray that I'll have wisdom." That's what he was always looking for, was wisdom. He went through a really rough stretch for a while, came out of it well, but it was a hard time for him. And he would reach out to me. I would call him on the phone sometimes, and he would call me. And in every conversation, "Pray that God would give me wisdom." And I saw him 1.5 years ago in Spokane, Washington. We were both out there. That's a beautiful city, by the way. And guess what he said to me? "Pray that God would give me wisdom." Nace sees God as the source for wisdom in his life. Who do you see as a source? Where do you go for wisdom? And a lot of you are going to go, "Well, to God, of course." Okay, yeah, me too. But do we really look to God for wisdom? Because I see people looking for God in some pretty strange places, some novel places, if you would like. For example, on Instagram or TikTok or some other social platform, you see people on there that there's all kinds of voices on there. And there's good voices on there. I mean, there's a lot of good teaching on social media, biblical teaching. And there's a lot of garbage on there, probably more garbage than anything else on there. And so how do you know which reel to watch? How do you know which video to watch, which person to read? You don't know the person creating the media, and yet you're going to look to them for wisdom. They don't know you, and you're kind of like, I don't know if you'll get this or not, but it's kind of like Estella Costanza, remember her? Getting wisdom from Donna Chang because she liked her name. I don't know if you can remember that Seinfeld reference or not. The fact is that not everyone who has a big following on any platform is guaranteed to give you helpful content. I know an internet preacher, going to call him Billy. And Billy has over 300,000 followers on TikTok. That's a lot of followers for Billy. Billy has almost 5 million likes accumulated on the stuff that he has produced. Man, with that kind of attention, you would think Billy is a great preacher and really successful. Lots of wisdom, and Billy does have wisdom. But I happened to look at Billy's church where he's preached for the past several years. How many people do you think attend his church on a Sunday morning to hear him preach? Remember, Billy has 300,000 people following him on TikTok. He's got 5 million likes. So the Sunday morning attendance at his church, I was surprised, it's 35. And I think to myself, I'm glad that Billy's getting the word out. And I would never scorn the small church. You know, I had a church just about that size for a few years. And I believe that Billy has wisdom to share, but don't you wonder if those 5 million people, if they knew the number of people that are sitting there in the church on Sunday morning to hear Billy, would they still tune in? It's really hard to know who's behind what you're seeing online. And it's hard to know, is that a good place to get wisdom? With Billy, I think it is, but we don't always know. And some people who have excellent content, they pretty much go unknown in our world today. Remember Eugene Peterson? He had a translation or a paraphrase, I should say, of the Bible called The Message that was very popular for a while. He kind of said some crazy things toward the end of his life, but he was really instrumental in my spiritual walk. He wrote a book about pastoral ministry called Under the Unpredictable Plant. It was really just a comparing pastoring a church to being Jonah in Nineveh. An unpredictable plant is that vine that grew up over top of Nineveh, or Jonah's head and fell down. And really, the book of Jonah doesn't end well for Jonah, because you find him sitting there complaining about the grace that God is giving the people. And I can remember that book was so meaningful to me. It was overflowing with wisdom for pastors. I remember it was always on the corner of my desk because I wanted it there where if I was just feeling down or something, I could pick it up and read it. It was a great book. Eugene Peterson had a ton of wisdom to share. But I realized recently, I heard someone say it and I thought about it. We probably wouldn't know Eugene Peterson or have ever seen a book come from him if he had been writing in 2025. And the reason is, to get published today, you have to have things that Eugene Peterson didn't have. He kind of lived in the middle of nowhere. He didn't have a huge social media presence. He didn't have a significant exposure. He wasn't on some kind of talk circuit and showing up on Christian radio and Christian television. And he didn't have what publishers are looking for today, and that is someone who can sell books, because that's what makes money, is selling books. Peterson had none of that. And so in Peterson's day, the stuff that was being produced had content and was judged for its content. But in our day, often the stuff that is being produced is stuff that's going to sell, regardless of what the content is. Peterson would probably never be published today because no one would know him. It's really hard to know on social media what source is worth your click. And it's kind of sobering to think, what wisdom are we missing because of how much influence the influencers on Instagram and other platforms have today? Where do you go for wisdom? Where do you go for wisdom? Sometimes people look to professionals for wisdom, the big desk, and often they have wisdom. You know, Laurel and I, just shortly before we arrived here in Kerwinsville, we spent a week in Tennessee receiving counseling from the guy with the big desk, you know, a counselor. And he helped us in our marriage and in our profession. We both found incredibly valuable the wisdom that he gave us and the perspective that he gave us. But even those professionals, when they look at one another and look at their own peers, they'll say, man, a lot of us just don't have our act together. And it's the same way for pastors. I'm a pastor, and I'll tell you that some of us just don't have a lot of wisdom to share. And some of us, if we were to give you a teaspoon of wisdom, we'd be all out by then. That's all we got, you know? How do you know how to evaluate the person behind the desk? How do you determine the value of wisdom from a counselor or a pastor? Where do you go for wisdom? How about finding wisdom in someone whose life that you can actually see? Years ago, I was having a problem with a Bible program that I had on my computer, and so I called the technical support number. I'm speaking to this tech, and I found out that she had previously dated a guy who was a personal friend of a West Coast pastor, a pastor whose books I consumed like ice cream. I loved his books, his blogs, and his podcasts. I listened to him all the time. So we're talking about this pastor. I really don't care if I get my computer fixed. I'm going to be able to talk about this pastor with this tech person. And she said to me, you know, I just got to tell you, Steve, I know that pastor. My boyfriend and I spent countless evenings at dinner with him and his family. And I don't know how to say this, but I think if you knew him, you probably would stop listening to him. Wow. And later it became evident to everyone that she was right. You see, it's really hard to find wisdom if you don't know the person who has the wisdom, or if you don't know that the person who is alleging to have the wisdom, pretending to be able to tell you how to live your life well, does he even know how to live his own life well? But if you can see their life, what's it say on the screen? Someone whose life I can see. If you can see their life, then you're probably more able to evaluate the probability of whether they're going to give you wisdom or not. When Laurel and I traveled recently, Laurel was scheduled to do a seminar on intentional motherhood. A week before she was going to do her seminar, Laurel happened to be doing another ministry where she was with a group of homeschoolers and their children, and Laurel was part of that homeschooling co-op. She was going to be the teacher and connect with the children there. She was teaching the kids. And one of the mothers, after watching Laurel with the children, she texted a message to my daughter and said, "Your mom is great. She connected with wisdom and gentleness, with truth, with grace. I didn't sign up for her seminar next week, but I really need to because I need the kind of wisdom that she has." That mother was smart enough to know that until you've actually seen someone living their life, I'm not going to sign up for any intentional motherhood seminar. I don't know anything about that person. But when you see someone living their life and they're doing it reasonably well and you're looking at wisdom, sign up. Sign up right away and pursue it. Where do you go for wisdom? Now, I want to look at Exodus chapter 18 here, and I want to kind of move through this passage because I think that if we do it, we can discover from this story of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro where to find wisdom. And one of the first things I notice as I'm looking at this passage is that wisdom comes from godly men and godly women. The wisdom Moses is going to receive in Exodus 18 is coming from a guy named Jethro. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." Okay, catch that. His name's Jethro, and his title is the priest of Midian. What does that mean? Well, Midian was an area, a land, where Midianites lived, right? And they were children of a man named Midian. So it's kind of like you think of Israel. Israel was Jacob's name, that's his name, and the people who are his children are the Israelites, and they live in the land of Israel. That's what Midian was like. His children were named Midianites. And Jethro is the priest of Midian. Well, what kind of priest is it? Is he like following the right God or not? Well, Midian happened to be married to a woman named Keturah. And I didn't recognize that name at first, but Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah died, Abraham married a woman named Keturah. And so Midian, who was the father of the Midianites, was a son of Abraham. And Jethro was a priest who almost certainly worshipped the God of Abraham. He's not a pagan priest. He's a godly man. Wisdom comes from godly men, godly women. Now, there are exceptions. Wisdom can come from other places. In Numbers chapter 22, it comes from a donkey, right? Read that in the King James, it's even better, right? And so, yeah, wisdom can come from just about anything because God can deliver his wisdom through just about anything. But more often than not, you're going to find wisdom more readily available to you when you're with godly men or godly women. And by godly, I mean the kind of person who reflects the image of God, who displays the character of Christ. They show the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're marked by the presence of Christ. They behave like the Lord Jesus Christ. They're godly. I love TED Talks. TED Talks are these talks where some millionaire will tell you how he won his millions, got his millions, you know. I find them to be informative, they're entertaining, but for the most part, the people doing a TED Talk are not trying to present godly wisdom, they're telling you how to be successful. They're not offering wisdom that will help you with what's really important in life. That comes from godly men and godly women. Second, wisdom comes from those who are interested in you, but not just interested in you, they're interested in your place in the kingdom, because people who are wise recognize that the most important role you play is a kingdom role, and they're interested in how that's going. And people who are with genuine wisdom don't sell it. They don't give it away for fame. They don't give it away for money or attention. They give it because they care. Now think back to verse 1. We read it moments ago, and you see that Jethro has kind of been tracking on what's going on with Moses. He's been keeping track of Moses and the people of Israel. He'd heard everything, it says in verse 1, that God had done for Moses and the people of Israel and how the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Think about that. He wasn't following him online. He He wasn't tuning into the news and watching how's it going with Moses here. Does Fox have it or does CNN carry it? You know, that just wasn't available to him. He didn't say, hey, Moses, when you go out there, make sure you share your location with me on Google Maps. None of that was happening. The only way he could do this was to send people to inquire what's going on there and listen to travelers who are coming in and ask questions. He had to be very intentional about knowing what was going on in the life of Moses, but this was easy for him because he cared about Moses and how God was working in his life. This is something that I loved about my own father-in-law. He was always asking me questions about kingdom-related things as well as everyday things. How's the church going, Steve? It's going all right. About half of them want to kill me, but other than that, I'll make it. Nah, that's not true. What are you preaching on these days? Where do you find this stuff to preach on? How do you decide what to preach on? Have you seen this book? How's your family doing? How's your car running? Hey, I'm thinking of getting rid of my car. You want it? You can have it. What are you reading these days? He cared about me. He wanted me to be successful for the kingdom. Jethro kept track of Moses' life for lots of reasons. One of the reasons was he was Moses' father-in-law. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law, Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I've become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro had a vested interest in Moses. And if you want to find real wisdom, don't look for it on a Facebook reel. Look for it in someone who is interested in your life and interested in how you walk with God and how you function in the kingdom. That person has a different kind of wisdom than other people. And this goes hand in hand with that thought, but it deserves to stand alone. Wisdom comes from one who cares about your well-being. And that's the important thing in terms of how he sees you. How are you doing? The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians 2:17. He's talking about spiritual leaders. He's talking about pastors. And he says, unlike so many, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent by God. I'm not in this for what I can get. I'm in this because God, this is what Paul's saying. I'm not in this, Paul says, for what I can get. I'm in this because God has called me to do this. And it's for your well-being. It's for your benefit. Jethro, he respects Moses, but I think he gives him this wisdom because he cares about him. A person who gives you wisdom might just be a person who loves you. If you look at the background of this Bible story, you learn that Moses has been engaged in some serious conflict, and that's why the family isn't with him. But evidently by verse 5, Jethro feels like it's safe for Moses' wife and children to come out. So in verse 5 it says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in a wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they greeted each other and then they went into the tent. And again, you're seeing Jethro is interested in Moses' success and well-being because the next verse, it says, Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. I think every guy that hears that would say, that's the kind of father-in-law I want to have. And I think every thinking guy would say, that's the kind of father-in-law I want to be. And mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws would think the same. They would feel the same. That's the kind of person, man or woman, who you can trust to give wisdom that is sound. And when it comes to these important issues, wisdom comes from those who worship the God of Scripture, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When Jethro hears what's going on in Moses' life, he literally starts to worship God. It's not like he gets out a guitar or anything like that and worships God. But look at verse 10. It says, he said, praise be to God who rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh and who rescued the people from the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burned offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat the meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. They're having a worship service. That's exactly what that is. It's a worship service. And so this passage shows me the kind of person that can give meaningful wisdom. It's a godly person. It's someone who's interested in you and your role in the kingdom. It's someone who cares about your well-being. It is someone who worships the God of Scripture. Now let me ask you this question. Do you have that kind of person in your life? Look at the list again. Do you have people like that in your life? Godly men, godly women. People interested in you, in the kingdom. People who care about your well-being. People who worship the God of Scripture and worship Him with you. If you don't have that kind of person in your life, then I would encourage you to begin to make that your top prayer request. Right at the top. God, give me a Jethro. I don't have a father-in-law like that. Give me a wise person in my life who's godly. Not just some person that's influencing out there with 3 million clicks, you know? Someone who's interested in me personally in the kingdom, and therefore they can look at how God's word applies to me. Give me that person. God, give me the person who wants me to be healthy spiritually as well as every other way. And give me a person that I can worship with. Person I can worship with. A pastor buddy of mine, he called me this week and he said, "Hey, I need you to do a funeral for me. I'm sick." And it happened that I had a funeral the same day. And I said, "I can't. That's 11 o'clock, mine's 12 o'clock. I can't." But I texted him back. See, that was Friday he called me. I've texted him back 3 times. "How's your health? How's your health? How's your health?" I'm not saying, wow, I'm the place to find wisdom. I'm just saying that's what people who care about you do. That's what people who are interested in you do. And if you don't have that person, I guarantee you God has that person for you. Ask Him to bring you that person and show you that person. And then when that person shows up in your life, consider how do I receive wisdom, the wisdom they give? Because it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You don't become a football player just by hanging out on the sidelines. You don't become a better hunter just by eating venison. You don't become a wise person just by knowing wise people. There has to be levels of interaction. And often that interaction will require from you humility. Humility to receive what they have to say to you. So first, to receive wisdom, be willing to discuss what you're doing. Your life. Don't hide your struggles. There are people in my life that know everything about me. and that is just so liberating that they know everything about me. I'm not hiding anything from them. I want wisdom from those people, so I must be willing to be who I am and not cover up my shortcomings, not pretend to be someone I'm not. Be who you are and ready to discuss who you are. Look at verse 13. "The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. They stood around him from morning to evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?'" Have you ever been doing something that you've been doing for a long time? And someone that's never seen that being done before comes up and says, "What are you doing? Why would you do it that way?" Yeah. They're questioning what I'm doing. I've been doing this. They know nothing about this. It can be hard. It can be especially hard if what you're doing is important and incredibly difficult to do. And so Moses could have taken offense here. He could have been kind of ticked off. "Jethro, what do you know about this? Back off, buddy. You've been sent at home in Midian. I've been hauling these people across the desert. What in the world's wrong with you?" He could have even been insecure about it. But Moses was willing to discuss his life with Jethro, priest of Midian. Verse 15, "Moses answered him, 'Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions.'" So number one, be willing to discuss what you're doing. Don't be a pretender. Don't hide your struggles. Don't pretend to be someone you aren't. Number two, to receive wisdom, be willing to hear hard words. It's quite remarkable how blunt Jethro is here. Look at verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good." In today's language, that's, "You're doing it wrong." That's what he's saying right there. "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone." I can imagine if I'm Moses, I'd be like, "What do you mean? I've been handling this alone. I know I'm not perfect, but back off," right? But Moses continues to listen. Verse 19, Jethro says, "Listen to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you." Do you see there he's concerned about him and his role in the kingdom? Verse 20. So where we are now, the middle of verse 19. "You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they're to behave." Moses, there's a better way. And that better way is to give them the law, give them the instructions so that they can decide themselves. Is this what God has in mind? Don't carry this all by yourself. But verse 21, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. Wow. Those could have been hard words for Moses to hear. "You're doing it wrong." But he listened. He took them to heart. He was willing to hear hard words. If you're going to get wisdom, that's an essential. And when you receive wisdom, you evaluate it and implement it if it's good. That's what's happening in verse 24. We'll be back in verse 23 in just a second. But in verse 24, you see, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. In one sentence, Exodus 18 says, Moses listened and he did what he said. You know, as we evaluate things, we evaluate it to see if it's from God. We pray, we evaluate, we communicate, we initiate. And that's not wrong. When someone who is wise and godly comes to you with a piece of wisdom, it's okay for you to discern, is this really a good idea? Because Jethro actually almost gives Moses permission to do this, or he does actually. Go back to verse 23. Look what it says. "If you do this, and God so commands..." You hear that? "I have this idea. You should get different leaders to do this. Groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, you know, right down. Just divide these people up down to tens and let them do it that way. And if you do this, and if this is really what God has in mind," do you see the humility in Jethro? "If God so commands, then you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will be satisfied." There's not really a guarantee here. You're going to have to use some discernment and evaluate this. But I think this is what God wants to do. So when someone offers you wisdom, pray about it, evaluate it, ask other wise people about it, and then if it seems to be of God, give it a try. That's what Moses did. Look at verse 25. "He chose capable men from all of Israel and made them leaders over the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases were brought to Moses, but the simple ones, they decided themselves." You know, it's kind of funny. I texted Reverend Dr. Nace Howell, there he is again, and asked his permission, "Can I use this picture of you on PowerPoint?" And he said, "Absolutely, brother." He was texting me, but he texted in a deep voice. And then he said, "And if I may, please continue to pray for wisdom for me." I love that guy. So where do you go for your wisdom? I can tell you where I go. I go to pastor friends, both Alliance pastors and people who were pastors of other churches. There are some I don't go to because I don't feel they're godly. That's not a church that I connect with personally. But if they believe in the authority of Scripture and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, yeah, I'm right with them there. I go to the elders of this church. We had an elder meeting this week. Only half the elders were able to be there. We had it anyway. We didn't have one item on the agenda. I just wanted to be with those guys and get some wisdom. And I get it from them. We get it from one another. I go to people in this church who are just people I know have wisdom. I go to Perry Connor. I go to Vern Robinson. I go to Sharon. I go to Jeff and Sue. I go to you. And God brings wisdom into my life in that way. I go to small groups. I'm sitting in a small group Thursday night, and somebody says something I never thought about 1 Peter chapter 1. Ah, that's cool. There's wisdom for all of us. Where do you go to find wisdom? You cannot get the wisdom you need from social media. This is just so bad. Don't be mad at me, but you probably can't get it all from your mom or your dad. But there are people that God has to supplement your mom and dad. Don't want to put them down at all. There are people you have that God has for you who can be sources of wisdom in your life. You might have to pray them into your life. You might have to seek them. But as you find them, just like Moses' life was changed when he evaluated and implemented the wisdom from Jethro, your life will be changed as well. And God will help you to walk in wisdom. I want to pray that that would be the case for you. So if you're comfortable doing so, let's stand together and we'll pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for all the good things you bring into our lives. We are thankful for the plan of salvation, that through Christ we have forgiveness of sin. And as we trust him, turning from our sin, we have eternal life, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us who gives us wisdom. I love, God, how you place your Spirit in each of us who are trusting in Christ, and you allow us to connect together so that the Spirit can make the wisdom manifest in our lives as individuals and as a group. I pray if there's anyone here who feels like, I really wish I had a wise person in my life, I pray that you will show them who that person is, that you will bring them that person. I pray they'd be protected from people who are not wise at all. I pray that we would be able to see clearly people who have wisdom and how they help us in our walk with you in the kingdom. I trust you to do this, God, because I believe this isn't just something that we think up, that we want, but it's something you desire for us, is to have wisdom. So may we find it in Christ's name. Amen.